It's the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward in for Kate Archer Kent. What if you call 911 and no one comes? Emergency services in rural areas are struggling to find staff and secure resources. Join us with your questions and comments about Wisconsin's EMS at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Amanda Mulvey is the Emergency Management Coordinator and Interim EMS Director for Florence County. Amanda, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Shereen. Thank you.
This month, you testified before a state Senate committee about the challenges facing emergency medical services in rural Wisconsin. What is it that you think is so crucial for lawmakers to understand?
I think it's important that we recognize we're way behind in staffing EMS departments, but also in funding them. And we need to find more non-competitive funding from our state to lessen when we're passing on a $1.7 million levy to provide a sustainable EMS solution here for our county. That impacts our taxpayers significantly. And we'd like to see more non-competitive funding from the state to be able to fund EMS and provide adequate staffing and really bring it from volunteer, which we are all currently in Florence County, to paid staffed positions. These are careers. These are professionals that are required to do a large amount of education and continuing education to maintain their licensure. It's time that our legislative officials start really pushing for this at the state level.
You said non-competitive funding. What do you mean by that?
Oftentimes you'll see grant funding available on a competitive basis where we need to provide a dedicated resource to applying for those grants. In rural communities, oftentimes what that does is puts more burden on those of us that are volunteering in these positions or wearing multiple hats in our positions. And when we do that and the funding isn't available to staff a grant writer, we fall short a lot of times in securing those grant funds. And it's difficult to be in that competitive space as rural agencies when we may not meet the mark for call volumes or overhead capitals. We really need to get to a place where we can rely on funding from our state government that will assist us at the local levels.
Last fall, the State Office of Rural Health assessed the reliability of Wisconsin's 911 ambulance response. EMS directors reported emergency systems are, and this is a quote, under severe strain and in critical need of immediate intervention. How widespread are we talking about? How widespread are these staffing and financial challenges?
Nationally. If you look at any headlines relating to EMS, it's not just rural communities. Yes, I advocate for the rural communities because that's what's impacting me directly in the community I live in. But it's not just the rural volunteer stations that are seeing these shortages. It's across the board. Our partners in the urban areas, those who are private and for-profit even, we all need to be able to rely heavily on funding, ability to staff appropriately, and pay and provide benefits for those individuals that are competitive with other jobs across the markets.
We're talking about the challenges facing EMS with Florence County Emergency Management Coordinator Amanda Mulvey. In 2020, you informed four towns that Florence County's rescue squad would end due to a lack of volunteers. Enough people then came forward as volunteers to resume that 24 service in March 2021. How is the county providing emergency services today?
Currently, we continue to provide services on the four services who are volunteer-based throughout the county that are not county-affiliated at this time. As we're making our transition to a full-time paid 24/7 staffed EMS agency this year, we continue to rely on partners across our borders here that will step in under our coverage agreements with them while our volunteer agencies are out of service. And that can be a significant amount of time. And we definitely credit our partners at both Integrity Care EMS in Iron Mountain and Aspirus Medevac Iron River for assisting us to continue to provide EMS service to all of our residents and visitors at a quality level. And how is as that we being, transition.
How is that being paid for?
So there is just this cooperative agreement between us with mutual aid and coverage agreements. Small rates are charged directly to the services that are out of service from Integrity Care across Star Border here in Iron Mountain. Aspirus Medevac does not charge us directly for those services, but it's a warranted fee because it's putting strain then on their coverage areas. And then individually transported patients are billed at the appropriate rate that they're transported for.
I'm curious about the volunteer model. I mean, do you see this as problematic as a whole? Would you recommend other counties and municipalities try to transition from a volunteer to a paid staff?
I would never recommend or make a recommendation to another municipality or county regarding what's best for them. I think going through the process we did with the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health, accompanied by support of a consult we did with Strategic Management and Consulting for EMS, that's the best route to go because you get good quality data for your area and really a good structure for budgeting based on what that sustainability report comes out at. The volunteer structure is going away. Volunteers are few and far between. We're putting too much strain on volunteers for a position that's truly a career. These individuals are responding to calls, and we don't have a great support system in place at this time for really making sure their mental health is sustained at the level it should be. So there's a lot of factors that play into EMS as a whole, but volunteers, there's not a lot coming up in the pipeline for us like we used to see. It's pretty much a dying situation, and we need to transition this to what it really is, and that's a career, to be able to provide good quality pre-hospital medical care when people call 911.
Why do you think that is, that volunteers are becoming fewer and more far between? I mean, what are the factors that you think are involved in that?
I think overall we're putting too much stress on individuals. Limited time with family. We continue to push more and more at our jobs and careers and things that we become engaged in outside of our careers. We're not seeing a lot of volunteers stepping up to this plate. I think we're finally realizing how valuable time is. And we can't get it back once it's gone. And so continuing to spend that quality time with our families as often as we can and friends, I think it's becoming a point now where we're seeing just exactly how valuable that is and maybe weighing that in a little bit more to our mental health and how that correlates and not giving up our time so freely anymore.
Florence County Emergency Management Coordinator Amanda Mulvey is with us to discuss the challenges rural EMS services providers are facing. Call in with your questions or comments at any time, 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. A new study from the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health calls staffing shortages and a lack of resources in many rural EMS departments under severe strain and in critical need of immediate intervention. We have Florence County Emergency Management Coordinator Amanda Mulvey with us. Call in with your questions and your comments. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Amanda, in his two-year budget plan, Governor Tony Evers is proposing to grow state payments to local governments by more than $500 million. He says 43% of that money would be for public safety. That would include EMS, fire, and law enforcement. Do you think that amount would be enough to address the challenges facing EMS providers as you know it today?
I think it would be a very good start. I would be curious how that would be distributed and what plans are in place to apportion that out equally across the 72 counties of Wisconsin. I think it's a good start. I think it's a place we can start, but we need to make sure that we're looking at public safety as a whole. I see a challenge across all of our partners, would be it fire, EMS, law enforcement, corrections. I definitely think it's a good start, Shireen, but I don't think it's going to take care of the problem as at large. It would need to be a sustained amount that could be counted on for years to come.
So not a one-time fix.
No, there's no one-time fix to this. We don't have enough of an income stream in rural Wisconsin to support the nearly $500,000 per BLS ambulance per year to maintain that without support from a tax base, be that state or local funding.
Do you think increasing the tax burden on local taxpayers is something that is sustainable?
I don't think it's, I guess let me rephrase that. Maybe it's sustainable. I don't think it's appropriate. When municipalities and the tax base here in northern rural Wisconsin is looking at weighing out, do we invest money in our schools, in our road infrastructure, or our public safety? I don't think it's fair to ask them to carry the full weight of that when we're looking at surpluses in our state budget. I understand that, you know, there's a lot of places that need funding, but when we look at the basic needs of our Wisconsin residents and visitors, I classify safety at the very top of that list. And if we can't focus on sustainable funding for our public safety agencies, I think we've missed the mark as the state.
You referred earlier to coverage agreements that rural EMS agencies have with neighboring communities. And specifically, Florence County, being in northeastern Wisconsin, it's on the border of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I'm curious how much your county relies on emergency services over the state line, or doesn't that happen?
Well, our coverage agreements and mutual aid do span a large area across Forest, Florence, Marinette counties, but we do go into Iron and Dickinson County. Both of our receiving hospitals for the county are in Michigan. We transport patients into Iron River, Michigan and Iron Mountain, Michigan as our two receiving hospitals. So we do not have a Wisconsin-based receiving hospital for Florence County because of our position with the Upper Peninsula and our access to those hospital facilities.
Are those agreements also putting strain on other departments? We had a conversation in Wausau recently where the Wausau Fire Department was saying our agreements with rural areas is putting a strain now on Wausau. So is it a ripple effect?
It is, very much so. Taking away assets from what a city is planned for to reach out to these outlying rural areas, that takes their core resources away from their population they cover as primary first in service. So it's straining the whole system.
We're talking about the challenges facing EMS with Florence County Emergency Management Coordinator Amanda Mulvey. Only 11 states deem EMS an essential service. I thought that was a surprising figure. Wisconsin is not one of them. So without that essential services designation for EMS services in Wisconsin, federal funding is unavailable and communities are unable to levy taxes to pay emergency medical technicians. How much of a difference would that designation make in the state?
I can't speak overall for the state, Shireen, but I would say that we would see a drastic increase by dedicating it as an essential service. I was shocked myself that it's not considered an essential service when through statute we're requiring municipalities that are townships to provide for this service, but they don't have the capability to levy or exceed their levy limits for this purpose. That's a difficult situation to put them in. So I think classifying as an essential service would make a lot of sense and would provide us with greater opportunity to secure funding for this purpose.
Why was Florence County able to pass that tax levy for EMS services? What were the factors there?
We had great support from our municipal leaders. All eight of our townships were in favor of going to a countywide system, and our county board unanimously supported this decision. I think they see the quality and the value that EMS service brings to our county. We have 490 square miles to cover, and we don't have a significant amount of connecting infrastructure to get from point A to point B easily, which requires us to have three stations to provide adequate coverage to both our residents and visitors to our area. I'm grateful for our community support that we've had. Yes, there has been some outcry in regards to the amount and the increase, and we're doing all we can in our positions to advocate for legislative changes to help us reduce that tax burden. But ultimately, I think it passed because we see the value of our residents, and protecting them is paramount to our municipal and county leaders. And I think they've done a great job of making sure that we're securing a sustainable resolution for our public safety entities, specifically EMS in this situation. Was it easy? No, it was a difficult decision, I think, for all of them to make. No one likes to see tax burdens go up for our local residents. But I think we're grateful to them because they do see the value and the need for this, and they're getting ahead of a very critical situation. Because we know that volunteer firefighting is going to be coming up next as something that we're going to see some strain on. And so we want to get ahead of these things before we get so far behind we can't protect our public.
A year ago, Governor Evers vetoed a bill that would have made the exam for national certification for EMTs optional for emergency medical responders. I'd like to hear your comments on that. Supporters of the bill said it would have improved recruitment and retention in the workforce. What do you think of that bill and the governor's veto of it?
I support the governor's decision on that. And my rationale for that is, we shouldn't lower our standards to bring staffing in. We should maintain that high quality standard because our people are worth that. When you're out seeking help from a professional, you want them to be well versed in their career field. Whatever they're helping you with, you want them to have that expert knowledge to be able to provide you with the best service possible. The same is true for EMS. We're a pre-hospital care facility on wheels, transporting critical patients in many situations. We want to make sure that we're giving them a standard of care that they can rely on and count on and really feel secure and have peace of mind with that transport. Lowering education standards does not necessarily solve any of the problem.
Ultimately, will the restructuring of EMS services in Florence County affect response times to 911 calls? Will you see, quicker response times for people who really need it when minutes sometimes mean the difference between life and death?
I believe that we will. I'm confident that by having 24/7 staffed EMS agencies, as opposed to the reliance on volunteers to respond to these stations when the page tones go off, does improve our ability to respond in a more timely fashion. I credit all of the agencies in Florence County and our partner agencies who assist us for their rapid response times. I think that they've done an outstanding job, but I do believe that by having these stations staffed 24/7, we will be able to improve on those response times.
In the roughly 45 seconds we have left, just a final thought. Do you feel like solutions are on the horizon, like things will get better?
I believe that our legislators are listening. I believe that they're taking a vested interest in this. And I think that overall, the awareness that's been brought just in this last year is going to help us find sustainable resolutions for the future. So I am hopeful that we are moving in the right direction for public safety agencies.
Do you feel like lawmakers listened to you when you spoke with them?
I believe that lawmakers are listening to the masses that are speaking to them. I think this has gained a lot of support, and the Office of Rural Health Study shows we're in dire need.
Amanda, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Shereen.
Amanda Mulvey is the Emergency Management Coordinator and Interim EMS Director for Florence County. She is also the Service Director of the Long Lake Tipler Rescue Unit. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Report on the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward in for Kate Archer Kent. In his January State of the State address, Governor Tony Evers spoke about the importance of investing in small businesses and local workforce solutions to maintain the state's economic momentum. What are those solutions and what will those efforts entail? Call with your questions about the challenges facing Wisconsin's economy and the solutions under consideration. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Missy Hughes is the Secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, also known as WEDEC. Secretary Hughes, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Shereen.
Governor Tony Evers' state budget plan would include annual appropriations for Main Street bounce back grants and creating a venture capital program with $75 million in one-time funding. How would that funding be used?
So there's really two things that we're talking about when we talk about Main Street bounce back and the venture capital fund. Main Street bounce back is the continuation of a program we started with the governor, which dedicated $100 million towards helping small businesses on our main streets and commercial corridors all around the state to occupy vacant spaces. And to date, we've seen about 9,500 businesses in all 72 counties start up and are helping to our main streets to be vibrant and exciting. The Venture Capital Fund is another effort, which we've received $50 million from the U.S. Treasury to start, and the governor is seeking to add to that, which really helps those entrepreneurial businesses that are looking to have their ideas go to market and then really scale up and potentially become billion-dollar businesses. So these are examples of the multi-pronged effort we're making across the state to really bolster Wisconsin's economy and continue to see the incredible recovery that we're experiencing.
Have those funds made a crucial difference for these businesses?
The Main Street Bounce Back grants are out there working right now, and they've made a really big difference. As I travel around the state talking to Main Street Bounce Back recipients, they've used those dollars to pay their rent or to buy inventory, and it's really given them that extra fuel to get up and running quickly, and they're so excited about the opportunity they have.
Governor Evers is urging WEDEC to receive an additional $10 million to address additional cost pressures that the agency itself is facing. So why is this money needed?
Well, we've essentially had a flat budget at WEDC for quite a few years. And given inflation, but also given the opportunity to continue to bolster Wisconsin's economy, we've requested that we have some catch-up funds in order to be able to really continue to do the good work. We do work all around the state of helping communities with projects or businesses. If they want to expand, we give them a little extra opportunity to maybe think bigger. And so we're asking the legislature to continue to help us invest in Wisconsin.
We're talking about Wisconsin's economy with Missy Hughes, the head of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, also known as the WEDEC. Where is further economic development in the state most needed when you look at the big picture?
Well, we're really taking a multi-pronged approach to thinking about Wisconsin's economy. We've already invested in our small businesses. And of course, WEDC is known often for the big businesses we support, like Milwaukee Tool or Molson Coors. And we really want to make sure that we're helping these entrepreneurs. So I think that we've got a really good strategy to make sure that we are supporting the economy, and we want to continue that work.
Are there specific geographic regions, perhaps, that need more assistance than others?
Well, I'm not going to choose one over the other, but I will tell you that we have a really dedicated approach to rural Wisconsin. The governor created the Office of Rural Prosperity and housed that in WEDC because we want to make sure that every rural community has the resources it needs to fulfill what it sees as its biggest strengths and really bring those to life. But then, of course, we have real challenges in our urban areas, and we want to make sure that those traditionally underserved communities also have opportunities. And so, again, we're looking at both our urban and rural areas and the unique kind of support that they need.
When you hear from business leaders in a range of industries, are there certain industries that communicate to you, seem to communicate more need to you as well?
Well, manufacturing in Wisconsin is incredibly important for the overall economy. And of course, as I talk to manufacturers, what I'm hearing from them is workforce. And it's a big challenge in Wisconsin to make sure that we have enough people to help them grow as much as they want and achieve the opportunities that they're seeing. With all the upheaval we're seeing around the world, Wisconsin manufacturers have such an opportunity to bring a lot of manufacturing back to the United States, back to Wisconsin, and they need workforce to be able to do that.
Wisconsin's food, forestry, and agriculture product exports totaled well over $4 billion last year. That set a new record. Why are the state's exports doing so well?
Well, we've just really seen the growth that our manufacturers are able to take advantage of, not only globally, but when we talk about exports, we also talk about exports to other states. And so Wisconsin is such an incredible supplier of parts that go into bigger machines. And so as companies all around the country and all around the globe are looking for those parts, they're looking to Wisconsin to supply them.
And last month, the WEDIC and the Wisconsin Alumni Association in Korea signed an agreement to promote the state as a good place to do business and as a welcoming destination for Korean students. Why is South Korea a goal for increasing businesses?
I'm so excited about this. The alumni from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in Korea are one of the strongest associations we have in the globe. And in speaking with them, they really wanted to make a connection between the Korea business culture and Wisconsin. And so we've got champions in South Korea who are talking about their time at school here, how great it was, and how they want to continue those connections. So this is an opportunity for Wisconsin businesses to export to Korea and for Korean businesses who want to enter the U.S. market to come and use Wisconsin as a landing place. And so we're just really excited that we've got this powerhouse of alumni in South Korea who include very incredible business people, but also government officials. And so we just see an opportunity there to strengthen that connection and really start to think about how Wisconsin and Korea can work together.
How much of an impact is this?
Well, it's just starting. We've just really been able to sign a memorandum of understanding and get this relationship up and running. But I can tell you that the connections are already being made, especially for Wisconsin businessmen, Korean business people who are in Korea now and are seeing the opportunity of coming to Wisconsin and establishing their business here.
Are there other countries that are top priorities for growing exports? What other countries are you looking at and why?
Well, we really focus on markets that are already existing and helping our businesses take advantage of them. So Canada and Mexico, obviously their location makes it really easy for our Wisconsin businesses to think about exporting there. China continues to be a powerhouse of exporting and importing for Wisconsin. And so we focus on China, but there's also lots of opportunity we're seeing with Germany and other countries in Europe who are looking for opportunities to enter the U.S. market and use Wisconsin as a landing zone. Wisconsin, because of its central location, incredible transportation, and incredible workforce, are the opportunities to for foreign companies to be able to access the rest of the U.S. market. And if they want to invest in the United States, why not invest here in Wisconsin first?
Missy, I want to circle back to something that we talked about earlier in just a few minutes ago. We were talking about the Main Street Bounce Back grants and the money that's available for small businesses. How are you communicating that to businesses? How are they applying for those funds and getting them?
We've really taken the approach of working with our local partners throughout the state to be able to make sure that our businesses know exactly what the resources are and how to access them. You know, over the last few years, there's just been a flood of information coming at our businesses. So it's been really important to us that we are very truthful and honest and forthright with our businesses about what's available and how to apply for it. So our local partners all around the state have enabled us to have one-on-one conversations with businesses, talk to them about the opportunities, and then once they've been able to get a grant, make sure that they've got the technical assistance they need to be successful, whether that's financial planning or marketing. We want to make sure that we're there for the long run to help these businesses not only get started, but also succeed.
We have a caller from Madison. It is Jack. Jack, thanks for being with us. What's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks. I'm thinking about ways of bolstering economic development, especially in light of, I guess, decisions that our neighbors have made. So recreational marijuana is legal in both Illinois and Michigan, and both states seem to have reaped tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue from marijuana, including $36 million in Illinois from Wisconsin tourists and clientele, I should say. And until Wisconsin's able to see some of that money in legal cannabis revenue to pay for our schools, our infrastructure, and other pieces, I wondered what we could do to make up some of those funds in the near term.
Thanks, Jack. Missy, what do you say about that?
Well, certainly there's a lot of conversation to be had about the economic opportunity for legalizing marijuana and the fact that, you know, our neighbors are taking advantage of that and often receiving dollars from Wisconsinites in order to satisfy what they're looking for as a consumer. As we look at opportunities for developing economic development, you know, keep in mind that we have a surplus in Wisconsin of almost $7 billion, and we should be thinking about how are we investing those dollars back into our universities, back into our tech colleges. You know, I think the overall mindset needs to be, when we have these available tax dollars, how do we invest those back in our communities and make sure that we're creating the quality of life and the opportunities for Wisconsinites to stay here and grow their lives and their families here. But also, we want to attract people to Wisconsin. And so what do we need to have in order for someone to decide that they want to move to Wisconsin and live here?
Thanks for the call, Jack. Missy Hughes is the secretary and CEO of the WEDC. Join our conversation at any time by calling in with your questions or comments on economic growth. This is the State Capitol Report, 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. We're continuing our conversation with Missy Hughes, the Secretary and CEO of the WEDC. Call with your questions or what you'd like to see happen to support businesses in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Missy, last month, Governor Tony Evers and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin announced Wisconsin would use nearly $80 million from federal pandemic relief funding for small businesses. $50 million is going to WEDC to establish the Wisconsin Investment Fund. Tell me a little bit about how that money is going to be used.
So the Wisconsin Investment Fund is our opportunity to set up a venture capital fund where Wisconsin is able to invest directly into Wisconsin businesses with the mindset of keeping them here in Wisconsin. What we've seen over the last few years is a business starts in Wisconsin. They've got exciting ideas. They need investment, and that investment comes from the East Coast or the West Coast. And the trick about that is those investors on the coast want their businesses close to them. And so we see that Wisconsin business have to move to California or move to Massachusetts. And by being able to invest in these businesses here in Wisconsin, we'll be able to keep those businesses here growing, hiring people, and really succeeding. So what we'll do is we will take this $50 million and we're going to co-invest with other investment funds, venture capital funds here in Wisconsin. And together, we're going to invest in Wisconsin businesses. We're going to take the expertise of these fund managers and we're going to say, tell us what businesses we should be investing in. And we're going to work together with them to be able to keep those Wisconsin businesses here. It's a really innovative, exciting opportunity. And we have the $50 million initially from the U.S. Treasury as part of the that is the American Rescue Plan Act funding. And then what the governor is suggesting to the legislature is let's take another $75 million and really supercharge this fund and make sure that Wisconsin businesses who want to grow here know they have the capital here and they can stay here.
We have Martha on the line from Menominee. Hi, Martha.
Hey, good morning, ladies. This is a great conversation. Say, I'm wondering if Missy could route me to the right department or program. We've got a couple of senior citizens here in Menominee. Did the work corporate thing and discovered my husband has quite a talent for building guitar pickups. Brad Paisley seems to think so. So we got a little business going here. And the folks at Nashville keep saying just what Missy was talking about. Move down here. Bring your business down here. Well, we've stuffed so much into it during the pandemic, got a PPP loan. The cupboards are bare. So we want to keep this going. It's a mom-and-pop shop. We love it. It's great. But we need money. So is there a grant for senior citizens or any kind of program for senior citizens in business? We'd like to keep this going.
Thanks, Martha. What advice do you have for Martha?
I love Martha's question. It is such a example of what we hear about here in Wisconsin. Folks are, thinking about how to create a new business and how do they find funding for it. So I have a couple pieces of advice for Martha. I mentioned earlier our local economic developers all around the state. You would be surprised, Shereen. There are people who are so ready to help businesses with these kinds of efforts. They're local economic developers. They're heads of chambers of commerce. They're folks right there who are ready to help our businesses dream and plan how to grow. And I would suggest that Martha reach out to, in her area in Menominee, there's a group called Momentum West, and they will be ready to help Martha with her questions. The other kind of unsung hero we have all around the state, at every UW campus, we have what's called the Small Business Development Center, SBDC. These are funded by federal funds from the Small Business Administration, and they too are also ready to help make those connections to help our small businesses succeed. So in Menominee, they could choose to either go to River Falls or to Eau Claire, and there's an SBDC there ready to help Martha. It doesn't matter whether she's a senior citizen or a teenager, these groups are ready to help.
William also sent us an email wanting to know more about how the WEDC is working with regional planning commissions.
Yeah, our regional planning commissions are another group located all around the state that are really smart and focused on economic development at a strategic level for a multi-county region. And our regional planning commissions are key in being able to look at a whole region and say, what are the strengths? What are the opportunities? And then coming to the state and having conversations with us about how can we find resources for a big idea in a region or to help keep something going. Our regional planning commissions have also been critically important in helping us deploy the Main Street Bounce Back Funds, and we're so thankful for their partnership.
And we have Steve on the line from Lake Geneva, just a couple of minutes left in our time together. Steve, what was your question?
Yes, well, just a quick comment. My dad was an entrepreneur. The point is that we are now confronted with two crises. They call them twin crises, the climate crisis and the biodiversity crisis, which threaten to they're already.
I'm sorry we lost Steve, but I thank you for calling, Steve. Missy, I want to ask you, in the brief time we have left together, the State Department of Workforce Development is seeing an increase in layoff notices compared to the same period last year. Is Wisconsin headed toward a recession, and how is your agency preparing for that?
You know, in my conversations with businesses, what I'm hearing is they continue to be concerned at an overwide national level about a recession, but yet they're really doing well. They are not laying folks off. In fact, they're continuing to try to find workforce and to hire. So while we see the isolated layoff moments, we are also knowing that those workers are able to find employment very quickly. Wisconsin, at the end of last week, announced again record-setting 2.7% unemployment. So we are seeing our workers working, and we need to continue to think about how do we support our businesses in finding those workers, but also making sure that folks have the things they need, like childcare, housing, transportation, in order to be fully employed so that we can support our businesses. Overall, I think Wisconsin is incredibly well positioned to withstand any kind of national recession that we see. We have an incredibly strong economic foundation coming out of the pandemic, and I have no doubt about how we will come through this with strength and moving forward.
Last 30 seconds, I want to just ask you about the Brewers in Milwaukee. There was an incentive that is likely dead. Are state authorities near making another deal with the team?
You know, we need to support our sporting teams, whether it's the Bucks or the Brewers, in being able to provide folks with that exciting sports entertainment that they want when they move here or when they're living here. Having these great teams here is incredibly important. And I actually have no doubt that we'll find a way to support the Brewers as we support the Bucks and the Packers and make sure that we have a really vibrant sporting life here in Wisconsin.
Missy Hughes, the Secretary and CEO of the WEDC, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.